The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Tyler, your first thoughts. We heard a little bit from you after the game on our post-game show. Obviously, the quarterback conversation is the one we want to have with you. But just, what did you see and what was the difference in Ty Story and his play on Saturday versus Cole Kelly? Obviously, Ty was able to move the team down the field, and Cole kind of had the offense seemingly stuck in the mud, so to speak.
I think you could say Craddock, and I think you could say that Chad Morris came out with a conservative game plan to try to get Cole Kelly off to a solid, comfortable start. And I think that kind of backfired a little bit on Cole Kelly. And, you know, we missed some easy stuff early, but, you know, the cobwebs were getting, it's kind of felt like the radio show this morning, just trying to get kind of acclimated and get the butterflies out of everybody's system. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's Ty's opportunity to come in the game. I think you settle in a little bit better. And I think Ty's going, maybe there's an opportunity here. I mean, you know, Cole didn't come in and light the world on fire. If I'm going to get my opportunity, I'm going to take it. And he had some guys run open. I think favorably, you know, there were times in my career in the NFL where, you know, one guy, I mean, we're in a heat of the competition. One guy gets a play call, and guess what? The guy's running open. You know, and – you know, not that I couldn't have made the throw if I was in there, or Cole couldn't have made some of those throws if he was in there in those settings. Sometimes it's the luck of the draw on, you know, when you get a guy open and how you get him open. Yeah. Ty, I think, was the benefactor of some of those plays this weekend. I'm grateful that was the case, and I think Ty showed in a number of cases and pulled the ball around the end and, you know, walked in the end zone. There's a lot of value, I think, in Ty, and I'm glad he had a big weekend.
Okay, so obviously Cole Kelly had been named the starter
right, going
into the game. Ty Story was going to get the fourth series.
Right.
That's not – that can't be a reflection – what we saw Saturday cannot be a reflection of what the coaches saw in the 4 weeks leading up to the season. That was the conversation I want to have first and foremost with you today is – the coaches had 4 weeks to watch these guys. I mean, grade everything from the way they clipped their fingernails to the way they threw the football to the way they ate lunch to the way everything was watched. Everything gets evaluated. And they came to the decision that Cole Kelly did just enough to edge out Ty Story. But then what we saw Saturday was Ty Story, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did Ty play, in your opinion, did Ty play far better than he did in the 4 weeks, or did Cole play far worse than he played in the 4 weeks leading up to the season that led the coaches to the decision to start Cole Kelly?
I think they played really similar in practice. I think if you just had to sum it up, both guys, none of them separated themselves. They did what they were asked, all of them. You know, but there was no clear, defined difference between the two, and they had to make a decision. And I didn't even get the feeling in any of the press conferences, you know, going into the game week that they were really naming Cole Kelly the starter. It was just somebody's got to go out there first. So Cole's had experience. He played in games last year, and he was the starting quarterback. He knows how to deal with that, so we're going to name him the starter, and we'll continue to evaluate. And I think you saw Ty come out and really play well. I think it's maybe a little bit different in practice, but like I said, he got some guys running open. And there's probably the biggest throw that I saw from him this weekend was that 3rd-and-11 throw to Jordan Jones. It's not the one that's a touchdown. It's not the one that's going to come out, you know, they pull on the highlight sheet and you're going to watch and you go, oh my goodness. It was the receivers stack each other and they get vertical and Jordan Jones runs a post route and Ty throws the strongest ball I've probably seen from him ever. And I know people that watched him a little longer than I have probably go, yeah, I know some throws. But that throw was high level, a strong arm, and not very many guys can make that. And then the ball to Jordan Jones where he's moving to the left and throws it, there's good arm strength on that. And then the ball, he steps up in the pocket and throws, you know, deep down the field, there's two or three or four throws in there that really go, I go, Ty Story is a legitimate SEC quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. There's two things that stood out to me about that. One, Chad Morris said that was the spark that really got the offense going because it was 3rd and 11. It would have been interesting to see what happened. Two, you know what that throw reminded me of, right? Auburn 2010, because you have two deep safeties. You got to beat that middle linebacker. I'm watching. I was like, I'm glad Tyler's in Monday because we can talk about it. It's not one a touchdown, but it was get it over the linebacker. And that's a hard throw. That is an SEC quarterback caliber throw.
Well, there's a window. There's a small window, and he had to put it on a line. It was not a, you know, that was not a feather it in there ball. It was, I've got a window and I've got, you know, a short window to make this thing happen. And, you know, I think you saw him drive the football on a number of occasions, and that was really good to see.
Yeah, it was evident. And Tommy and I talked about this, and I'm glad you're in here again because we can talk about this with you because we didn't play this position throughout the college. With mechanically, Ryan Mallett for a 6'7 guy had a pretty quick release, but I'm watching Cole Kelly. Right. Tommy's watching Cole Kelly. It looks like Tim Tebow. It is so long. His throwing motion takes forever. Ty Story's, it's a gunslinger. Get it out. Get it out quick. What did you see from that?
One of the things, and we talked about this several weeks coming into the show, is he's got a strong arm, meaning Cole Kelly. But it takes a while. It takes a long time for the ball to get out of his hand. In this offense, it's not about arm strength. This offense is so not about arm strength. Like, Ryan Mallett would not be a good – he would be a serviceable quarterback in the system. One of the reasons why he left Michigan to come to Arkansas, he wanted to get away from Rich Rodriguez and the speed ball and playing quick and the zone reads. It didn't favor him. This favors – quarterbacks like myself, like Ty Story, like Connor Nolan. It's not a favorable system for a big prototypical frame. And so that was why I was kind of confused a little bit when they named Cole Kelly the starting quarterback, is I just felt like Ty Story, with the way he plays, can get the ball out of it. You need a shortstop and a second baseman to play this offense, not a third baseman.
I agree 100%, and the difference is pretty evident. I made this allusion, I want to say it was about 2 weeks ago. You're watching, I mean, you have to see what you're watching, right? This is the great value comparison of you and Ryan. I mean, you got an Arkansas kid who's a little less outspoken, and then you got this kid that's from out of state that's a little more up in your face, blah, 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 and the accolades aren't there, the caliber of just quarterbacks not there, but it's kind of a similar comparison when you guys were going at it.
I think a little different there, but you go back to Ty Story, and I was thinking about this morning while I was driving in. You know, people kind of go, he's just, you know, so. He was ranked number 6 in the country at his position coming out of high school.
Had an offer from Alabama.
Yeah, like people forget, like, he wasn't highly recruited. Like, people were talking about him coming in the same way we were talking about Connor Nolan or any of these. He might be beyond Ryan Mallett.
Well,
I mean, he might be one of the higher rated quarterbacks that have come in a while.
He's a lot like you in the comparison that he's waited his turn behind a guy that's an NFL quarterback and Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen, had 3 years as a starter.
I think the difference, though, is the previous staff gave him zero shot. They didn't speak well of him. They didn't even allow him to take reps in practice. I mean, he was kind of the guy he was on the holding the clipboard, and that was it.
And he's been behind Brandon and then Austin, and it just seemed like the Allen brothers succession. That's just the way it was going to be.
Tell me if my mood is wrong here. I think when this competition was going on, I don't think a lot of people had a bias or a feeling, just made the best man win. We want to win football games. But when they named Cole the guy on, what was it, Wednesday or Thursday or early last week?
Officially on Monday.
Yeah. Well, but I guess Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, everybody was kind of talking about it. I think a lot of people are going, man, I really wish Ty Story, if it was just going to be between the two of them. I think, obviously, Connor Nolan's young. Stephen Jones is young, right? But I think between the two of them, a lot of in-state guys and fans were going, man, I really wish Ty Story would have been able to step up and win the job. And
And how much of that is because he's from Charleston, Arkansas?
But it wasn't from Charleston, Arkansas.
Rock. But he's Arkansas, an Arkansas kid. I think, and the other guy is from Louisiana.
I think a lot of it's the demeanor. I think it's the way he carries himself, the way he speaks. I think a lot of people appreciate that about Ty Story.
Yeah. There's no denying that Arkansas fans like winning Arkansas. Guy's the quarterback. I mean, you were liked. Matt Jones was liked.
Had the last three guys, the last four guys really have been Arkansas guys.
And Ryan was from Texarkana. He was really accepted as an Arkansas kid.
He grew up in Texarkana.
Arkansas quarterback.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas!
While the run game was a disappointment on Saturday, I think you saw a little production out of the passing game that you were a little worried about heading into game one, just heading into the season. What's interesting is Jared Cornelius, who was probably the leader of this group going into the season, did not have a catch in game one, which I looked at that stat. He did not have a catch.
Yeah, in the break, I asked you, who's the guy? You didn't give me that at all. You talked about, you know, LaMichael Petway, you talked about, well, Jordan Jones. That's the question mark.
Yeah. I was surprised to see that after, because I was looking, I was like, why isn't Jared Cornelius any highlights? And I looked, and the stat line, nothing from him. He was on that one punt return where him and Chevin Callaway got that penalty for being on the same field, but nothing from him. So you had LaMichael Petway had a pretty good game. Jordan Jones had a pretty good game. And we talked about the physicality of Chase Harrell, who just looks at 6'4". Ooh. Not the fleetest of foot, but just as a wide receiver, looks like a pretty physical specimen that Chad Morris and Joe Craddock are going to have to take advantage of this season.
Looks like a guy that can stick his nose in there. If he's short of the chains after catching, it looks like a guy that could get you that extra 2 or 3 yards you need to get past the mark.
They're not the same wide receivers you were playing with.
No,
I'll say that.
Not yet. Maybe in a couple years, and we'll see what it looks like when Chad's able to get his guys in here. But I mean, Jordan Jones, again, 5 catches, 132 yards. LaMichael Petway, 5 catches, 92 yards. And I think the question mark, if you add Jared Cornelius to that mix.
And Jonathan Nance.
And Nance, and you just sprinkle, you know, some production in there. Now you've got a wide receiver core. There's going to be 4 and maybe 5 wide receivers on the field virtually on every play. And you've got to have production out of 3, 4, 5 guys in this offense, I think, to spread the wealth and have the excitement everybody wants.
3 of the 21 receptions were to running backs, and not a surprise there. I think we'll see more of that in weeks to come. Rakeem Boyd, T.J. Hammonds, Chase Hayden all catch a football as a running back. Of course, the tight ends were in the mix as well, with Austin Cantrell and Jeremy Patton catching some footballs, but I think that's an element we're going to see more of, because it's some of your better football players. We've talked about this the last couple of weeks. Saw a little bit of it. Didn't produce a whole lot of yards. I think 12 yards maybe in those 3 combined catches. That's got to be an element of this offense, Tyler.
Explosive plays. And that's the objective to this whole philosophy. And Chad Morris, bring him in. I think why a lot of people felt, you know, frustrated with the Bielema era is, it's just this methodical, just, you know, we're just, you know, walking the ball down the field, these, you know, 12 play, 80 plus, you know, yard drives. In this offense, it's about explosive plays. And I think you saw that 3rd and 11, Ty Story hits Jordan Jones on, you know, it's a stack scissors route, and he hits him on a post, explosive play. You see the explosive play where we're moving to the left and throwing the ball. Jordan Jones catches it while he's on his back in the end zone, explosive play. You know, the big post route. That Ty Story throws another 50-yard plus explosive play. Though, you know, those are the exciting things. And now we're playing Eastern Illinois now, so we're not getting to. You should have those plays, but I think that's what this offense does. And when you involve everybody, including the running backs, in space, you're going to have an opportunity for those more explosive plays.
Yeah, you think back to when Darren McFadden and Felix Jones were playing, just a threat anytime they touched the ball. You think about when you were playing, Joe Adams, Dennis Johnson, threat anytime they touched the ball. And you want, and you don't know, but you want Chase Hayden to become that guy. You want T.J. Hammonds to become that guy. There was not a single player on Bielema's tenure that you could pinpoint, with the exception of maybe a little bit Corliss Marshall, but we didn't really see him in a full
maybe
career.
Alex, you could maybe make case for Alex Collins.
Mm-hmm. Alex Collins. But it's like you mentioned, Arkansas is going to need explosion. That is what Chad Morris's offense is predicated on. Hard running game, big plays. And if they can get that from one of these younger players or even a veteran player, that offense is going to be that much better moving forward. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that. If you could pinpoint one guy who you think is going to be that guy for Chad Morris's offense this season, who would you say it's going to be?
It's hard not to go with Jordan Jones as a wide receiver right now. I just based on week one production now, Jared Cornelius, does that change? LaMichael Petway, I think it could be any of it's kind of similar back to, I mean, Jarius was a guy. I don't know. I mean, it's maybe too early to tell, but I mean, Jordan looked really good.
Yeah. I mean, your guy, like you mentioned, Jarius had the best season of his career when he was playing with you in 2011. And early in the season, I think it's so important for Ty Story to develop chemistry, not with just all of his wide receivers, but you always have to have a go-to guy, right?
Yeah. And not to get back into controversial, but I mean, we keep saying Ty Story. Y'all played a clip earlier of Chad Morris addressing the quarterback, quote-unquote, controversy, and Ty, and maybe we'll get in that in the next segment, but kind of interesting. It's not a clear cut, as we were really impressed by Ty Story, and we'll see where this heads moving forward. But I think they'll reevaluate things going into this week.
We talked about what we thought's going to happen with the quarterback situation. I think that today in his press conference, Chad Morris is going to announce that Ty Story has earned the starting job. Not moving forward, but at least for Saturday's game. Huh. From what you saw on Saturday, I know we still got a lot of football left. You're going to see what he does on the road. What do you think transpires with this football team at the quarterback position?
And when you play this clip, my thought changes. It's almost like, well, you know, this is my takeaway from what Chad Morris said in a post-game press conference. I think it was alluded to by some of the reporters. I want you to speak highly of Ty Story, and he did. But he also said, you know, we're going to reassess things. Cole Kelly was 9 of 12, 2 for 92 yards. You know, so it's not like it was almost like he portrayed, well, Cole Kelly didn't really have a bad day. Yeah, Ty shined, but Cole didn't have a bad day as well. We'll reassess things.
If you missed what Chad Morris said, here's what he said after the game on Saturday.
We're going to go back and reevaluate this and see. I do know this. Both these guys have to be ready to play. They have to. It's a long season, and they've got to get adequate reps. At the same sense, you've got to get the ball in the end zone. And Cole knows that. Cole's a fierce competitor, and he was over there cheering Ty on the sidelines, and that says a whole lot about Cole. And he was 6 for 8 throwing the football. Again, we want to be able to get that ball in the end zone, and so we'll reevaluate things and readjust and see how it goes.
Morris mixed up the stats a little bit. Cole Kelly was 9 for 12, but you know,
six for eight sounds good.
It works a little better. But I thought what was interesting is someone asked Ty Story if he earned the starting job, and here's what he had to say on that.
I don't think that's my job to answer that. That's, you have to talk to the big man, I guess.
Perfect answer. Perfect answer.
Like, that's the you ring the bell on that. I brought in the, how about this?
Yeah. Ring the bell. Oh, we got to get a picture of that now.
Get
your Paul Petrino
under
shirt
my
on.
Jacket this morning. I wore an old football. So I'm with mom. I came in for the weekend, right? Game day weekend. I drove down to Fort Smith to see mom and dad before I left, and found an old football T-shirt in the closet. Yeah. So I thought I'd wear that for you guys this morning.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Arkansas was outgained 127 yards to 80 on the ground. If you look at the rushing per average, it was 2.2. Arkansas averaged 2.2 yards per carry. So that's our on-the-spot question of the day presented by Washington Regional. Will the Arkansas ground game improve?
Washington Regional Medical Center committed to providing stroke care that aligns with the latest research-based treatment guidelines. Studies show patients recover better when these guidelines are consistently followed. Washington Regional proud to be recognized by the American Heart Association for achievement in the Get with the Guidelines and Target Stroke Quality programs. Learn more online at wregional.com.
Tyler just noticed the GIF I put up for this morning.
Is it GIF or is it GIF?
It's GIF. Okay. I say GIF too.
That is an ongoing debate.
All right. Okay.
It was the fourth and goal play against Ole Miss. That was 2011, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the fourth and goal naked bootleg play you scored on against Ole Miss. I'm sitting over there, him watching that. He's cringing
because it doesn't look like it hurt. It looked like it hurts, but I get up and I'm acting like it doesn't hurt, and I'm just fist bumping and pushing people and all that other stuff. I am hurting so bad right there. Like that's when you get hit. It's like when your son gets hit, and you're like, don't rub it. Mm-hmm. That's the old baseball deal. My tailbone was throbbing right there. And don't you rub that sucker.
All right, guys, the ground game. We didn't see it in game one. Are we going to see it in game two against 0-2 Colorado State? And I'll say this. Colorado State has given up an average of over 200 yards rushing against their first two opponents. So that could help.
If you don't this week, when will you? Right? Is that a reasonable question?
Maybe Tulsa. that might be it.
Where would you rank Tulsa against Eastern Illinois? You'd think you probably played your weakest opponent of the year, right? I mean, it's an FCS team. Mm-hmm. It's one reason you come away with that opinion is you just played an FCS team. So it's a little discouraging to not even break 100 yards of net rushing in game one. Now, obviously, this offensive line's going to do nothing but get better. I thought their pass blocking was serviceable. But, Tyler, what did you see from the run blocking? I think when they get some guys back and maybe Austin Capps comes along a little more, and Colton Jackson's ready to go, maybe the dynamics change. But what did you see with the offensive line play and, maybe what's the future there?
I think we're going to have to trick them a little bit this year. That's what I think we're going to have to do. I don't think we're going to be able to line up and run the ball. I don't think we can. I'm concerned about our four-minute offense. When we're up 7 points with, under 4 minutes to go in the game and you've got, the ball and you're trying to drive it 80 yards but run the time off the clock, that's where my concern is this year. I think you're going to always have to have the pedal to the metal with this offense. I don't think you can grind out 3.5 yards a pop on the ground with three straight runs. I think this is going to be a tough year to do that. I think you've always have to have the threat, and that's why this offense is great. It's why you're always going to have a threat with Ty Story of pulling the ball around the end if they overplay you and keeping them honest for 3 or 4 yards. And you're always going to have the opportunity to pull it and throw it. You're going to have to play that way this year. You're not going to be able to 3 yards, 3.5 yards in a cloud of dust every time you hand the ball off. I don't think it's in our repertoire this year.
And I think it was an underrated element of Bobby Petrino. In 2010, 2011, you and Ryan got a lot of accolades, and they were well-deserved. But if you look at the rushing attack, and I know Nile got injured in 2011, but, that 2010 team, Nile Davis was a stud. And then you have Dennis Johnson the following year. That was a good rushing attack to counterbalance the passing attack.
I want you to go back and look at our front five. I want you to look at
some dudes.
Like DeMarcus Love, Travis Swanson. Travis just unfortunately got leg. I told you about September 1st and, those cut dates and it being instrumental for a lot of people. You're like, what's it feel like here the first day of Saturday in September? It's tough for a lot of people that are in this business. But, yeah, you look at all those guys that were involved in that front five at 2010 year. And we had some running backs, but we also had some dudes up front that were high-level players.
I know you got shellacked a little bit in 2012, but those 2 years, that's some of the best offensive line play I've seen.
2010 was our best mm-hmm. offensive line year. 2011 we lost a bunch from 2010, and 2012 we were really slim.
Yeah, and it's just moving forward with the left side of the line. I don't think the right side of the line is incredible, but it's pretty solid. But the left side, you got two redshirt freshmen, Tyler. That's got to be scary for Ty Story or. Yeah. Cole Kelly, whoever it is.
As you relate that, you go Bielema, 2015, 2016 had some decent players. Last year was really slim. And I think Chad Morris is trying to piece the puzzle together of what you got left over, and with this offense, make it make sense. And use, instead of worrying about what you don't have, what do we not have? It gives us an excuse of why we're not good. What do we have? And that's what that's what Chad Morris is going. Instead of going, oh, we don't have any offensive linemen. We don't have any receivers. We don't have any, okay, what do we have, and how do we use what we have? And that's why we hired Chad Morris.
And maybe we get into this tomorrow, write this maybe down for later in the week, Ty, is will this be a team that rushes for 1,200 as a team this year?
It's a pretty good Vegas line, Tommy.
I mean, you think about that, and you say, well, surely. I mean, you think about that. Derek McFadden rushed for what? I hadn't looked it up. 1,700 or something one year himself. This may be...
Got 11 games left.
A team that legitimately 12 or 13... 1,500 yards seems like a lot. 1,420 more yards seems like a long ways to go right now for this team on the ground.
And we got to admit this. I mean, you lost so much just over the course with Bielman, and now they're having to transform offenses and identities.
And the idea of having a 1,000-yard rusher seems out the window right now.
So, Tom, and this is why Ty Story and somebody else other than Cole Kelly will be the starting quarterback the majority of the year, because you have to have the threat to run. If you can't run the football with your running backs and you've got a quarterback that's just going to hand the ball off, and he's got a slow release, he's not getting it into space quickly, it's like the recipe of all disaster. Yeah. Like, you don't have any threat.
Because the passing game's not fast enough. And the running game's non-existent from the quarterback. So the RPO game is no real threat.
With Cole Kelly. So and that's why I was so surprised when they went with him as the starter, because it does nothing for you offensively.
So, Ty Story, more of an RPO threat, run-pass option threat for this offense. And the younger guys, from all accounts, talking about Jones and Nolan, the two true freshmen who didn't see the field, their feet, Clay Henry put it this way, I heard last week, they just got more magic in their feet.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what we're eventually going to get to. I don't know if it's this season.
With KJ Jefferson coming in.
But at some point, you're going to have that's the secret ingredient, is you got to have a quarterback that's got some magic in your feet.
And you mentioned the offense when you were there. It transformed a little bit from Ryan to you. It's not like you were a 4-4 guy, but you added an element that Ryan didn't have, a little more speed. I mean, we watched the Ole Miss clip, the Texas A&M read option clip. I mean, there's certain things you can do with Ty Story that you just can't do with Cole Kelly. Now, he's the bruiser. He's the Blake Bell. He's the bulldozer. But when it comes to an option or an RPO, he just provides more opportunities for this offense.
And you brought up Ryan, so I'm just trying to make sense of this. Ryan left Michigan because Rich Rodriguez took the job at Michigan, okay? And he was going to do all this run-pass option stuff. And Ryan's, very similar to Cole Kelly, that just doesn't fit me. You know, and so he comes here to play for Petrino, more pro style. Initially has now evolved. You see what kind of, if you watch the Alabama game, you see what, Petrino's doing now. But Chad Morris is running this RPO heavy, get the ball on the perimeter. It doesn't benefit a guy like Cole Kelly. It doesn't. I think there's probably three or four other guys on the roster that long term, it makes more sense to go with those guys than a Cole Kelly.
And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Ty Story is a barn burner. He's a slightly above average athletic quarterback who we've seen has a quick release than Cole. But you have to make defenses. You got to make defenses honest. You cannot just be, if you're going to try and run the system, run the RPO system, which Chad Morris isn't trying to install, you cannot just be solely centered on the running backs, because otherwise it's not going to work.
Right.
So I think he's, I know it's not fully decided yet, but I just think, you think it, I think it after game one, unless he just completely implodes, I think Ty Story hopefully is going to be the guy moving forward.
I have less faith in the fact that Cole Kelly's going to come out and make it click. It all comes together. All of a sudden, his throwing motion's better. All of a sudden, the passing game is at the level it needs to be, and he finds some kind of speed with his feet. That's just not going to happen by
Cole
by
can
Saturday.
Functionally play and operate the offense. That's what I feel confident about is – I almost feel more confident that Ty Story's the starter and we've got Cole Kelly as the backup than I do the other way around. If that, I feel like that's maybe the better move going forward. And Cole can functionally move the offense. I think we can win a game with Cole Kelly, I think there's two quarterbacks we can win football games with. If there's any positive thing I took away from Saturday, we can win a game in the SEC with either of those two guys playing quarterback.
And that's back to our on-the-spot question. I think the rushing attack is enhanced with Ty Story in there. I know Cole Kelly can get you a few yards, bulldozing his way through, but when you look at opening up the offense, you look at just the dynamic that Chad Morris wants to have with that offense, I think that Ty Story brings that element that Cole Kelly just doesn't.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.